VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We're very excited to get started here this hour. Friends, if you were with us yesterday, we presented the first in a two-part series of a message entitled, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. The message from Gary Kah of Hope for the World Ministries. Because this message is so important, so relevant to the hour in which we are living, we've dedicated not one, but these 2 days of broadcast to get the message out. And we pray that it may in fact open many eyes to that which is before us now. If you have something to write with, jot down some notes, or even better, later when we share the order information, make sure to order a copy for yourself and maybe even someone else. So much was covered yesterday. COVID-19. Global governance, vaccinations, this digital mark of the beast, and hence the push toward a cashless society. And that is where we left off yesterday, and we'll resume here now with Gary Kah.
What do these pro-UN globalist elites hope to ultimately accomplish? The answer? An anti-Christian, socialist, one world, cashless, controlled government system. If you want to read a good description, just read Revelation chapters 13 and 14. Because what these people are working toward is exactly what the Bible describes would take place in the last days. And now we are right there. The technology is there. It's all in place. But in my opinion, a completely cashless system won't be accepted by the public until our current economic system collapses or at least falters to a large enough degree that it is deemed ineffective and out of date for today's interconnected world. Much of the sensational media coverage surrounding the coronavirus, I believe, is intended to facilitate such a transition. Think about it. Why would people embrace a new global cashless economic system if the current system is fine, if there's no reason to do it? So they have to crash the system or somehow bring it to a halt to be able to introduce the new system. And that tug of war, that's been going on for the last couple of years. So far it hasn't happened, but the economy has definitely taken a hit because of COVID. The central banks of many countries are already preparing for a switchover. Some of them have begun. The global currency, when it is finally introduced, will make use of digital technology and take the form of an electronic monetary unit. It will utilize distributed ledger crypto technology, which is readily available. Some international banks have already been using the SDR, Special Drawing Rights, digital currency for several years to settle their interbank accounts. The public version of the SDR monetary unit has been ready to go for at least 18 months. In other words, it is waiting in the wings for the right moment to be brought forth. A global economic meltdown resulting from an out-of-control health crisis would be just what the doctor ordered, so to speak. While we should continue to fervently pray for God's intervention in our nation's affairs, I believe the global establishment will do everything in their power to collapse the U.S. economy in order to usher in a mandatory vaccine and electronic currency while pinning the blame on President Donald Trump if they can do so. The forced hysteria surrounding COVID-19 is shutting down many businesses now for a second time. It is estimated that 40% of these businesses will never reopen. And two weeks ago, I saw a statistic that some experts now believe it could be 60% of these businesses will never reopen, those who are now closing for a second time. Meanwhile, diminished corporate earnings, increased trade tensions with China, and a ballooning national debt could spell disaster for our economy and stock market soon unless something changes. So we need to prepare for this possibility now while we can. As mentioned, if the powers that be succeed at sinking our economy, if such a scenario plays out, cash would become worthless almost overnight. Therefore, I would not hoard large amounts of cash, as some people are doing. Keeping some on hand for emergencies is all right, but it would be wise to convert larger quantities into items that can be used for bartering during difficult times. Historically, silver and gold coins have been used for bartering and also various practical items that are needed in day-to-day life. Tell you a quick story. My parents both grew up in Europe during World War II. My father, between the ages of 12 and 14, fled first from the communists and then from the Nazis. His family became refugees. They lost everything they had. But they figured out ways to barter. They took personal skills that they had. Even Dad found bullet casings, and he turned them into rings and sold them to people. Anything to get through. My mother, on the other hand, grew up under Hitler in Nazi Germany with a father, my grandpa, who was very outspoken against Hitler, to the point where on one occasion the secret police came looking for him in their small village. Fortunately, they didn't get him because the mayor of the town was a friend of the family, and his daughter and my mom were best friends. So when they came to the mayor's office looking for my grandpa, he sent them on a wild goose chase. He sent them to another village and said, last time I saw, he was over there. So as soon as they disappeared over the horizon, he went and found my grandpa and said, you've got to get out of here because they're looking for you. He ended up hiding out in the forest for a number of days until the coast was finally clear. That's what my parents went through. Well, Grandpa, fortunately, was a successful farmer. They had a bumper potato crop for 2 or 3 years in a row. And they had some dairy cows. And so during World War II, when bombs were flying all around, my mom took organ lessons, and Grandpa paid the organ teacher with sticks of butter, which she was very happy to have. Bartering is the oldest means of exchange. That's how people used to do it. And I think if hard times come in this country, I believe that's how a lot of business is going to get done. So I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up on that, to be thinking along those lines, because we may sooner or later be in a situation like that. The global elite are getting a lot of help these days in crashing the system through violence and lawlessness, from Antifa, certain members of the BLM movement, and various anarchist groups, some of which are funded by George Soros. Unfortunately, many well-intentioned, especially young people of all colors, have jumped on the BLM bandwagon. They are unwittingly being used to destroy their country, which will ultimately result in their own loss of freedom, something they do not yet realize. They are likely unaware of BLM's historic ties to Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, the Black Panthers, and the LGBTQ movement, or its anti-traditional family agenda and overarching anti-Israel, anti-Semitic thrust. This is not told to us by the mass media, even though they know full well that that is the case. The core values that followers of Jesus Christ stand for, the BLM leaders reject and stand vehemently against. RightsideNews.com did a comprehensive article in July of 2016 titled, and you might want to write this down, it's titled, Black Lives Matter, Understanding Its Origins, History, and Agendas. Although this piece is 4 years old, it provides valuable background information. It includes the BLM response to the gay nightclub shooting in Orlando. Do you remember when that took place back in 2016? Well, on June 21st of that year, a few days after a self-proclaimed Muslim jihadist used an AR-15 rifle to murder 49 people and wound 53 others in a gay nightclub shooting in Orlando, BLM posted an article on its website that blamed white supremacy, patriarchy, and homophobia of the conservative right for this atrocity. It read in part as follows. Now, this is a direct quote from BLM. Despite the media's framing of this as a terrorist attack, we are very clear that this terror is completely homegrown, born from the anti-black white supremacy, patriarchy, and homophobia of the conservative right and of those who would use religious extremism as a weapon to gain power for the few and take power from the rest. Those who seek to profit from our deaths hope we will forget who our real enemy is and blame Muslim communities instead. And notice I emphasize there who our real enemy is, who they're suggesting here, it's conservative citizens. These forces, and not Islam, create terrorism. I'm continuing with the quote here. These forces, and not queerness, create homophobia. These forces unleash destruction primarily on those who are trans and queer and brown and black, and we are the first to experience its violence. End quote. So this is just a glimpse into the mindset of Black Lives Matter, the organization. Two of BLM's three founders, two of them, are far leftist homosexuals, which adds some perspective to the statements I just read from them. One of these co-founders is Miss Patricia Cullors, spelled C-U-L-L-O-R-S, who is a Marxist-Leninist. In a 2015 interview with the Real News Network, Cullors made the following statement. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia, in particular, are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. And I think that what we really tried to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many black folk. End quote. She's telling us that she's a Marxist, in other words. This is not speculation. As further evidence of her intentions, Cullors was mentored for more than a decade by Eric Mann, an avowed communist revolutionary. Mann was a member of radical left militant groups, including the Weather Underground, which bombed government buildings and police stations in the 60s and 70s and was designated a domestic terrorist group back in 1969. Both Cullors and Mann, for what it's worth, have been strong supporters of Bernie Sanders, who, of course, also is a socialist. I want to talk just a little bit about the defunding of the police.
This looks like a good place to pause for a moment. The message, A Nation at War, the Globalist Conditioning of America, as it was shared just last weekend in Southeast Wisconsin at the VCY rally with Speaker Gary Kaw of Hope for the World, of which Gary is both founder and director. Gary is a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government, once part of the World Constitution and Parliament Association, which is one of the organizations involved in the very forefront of promoting the world government agenda, which certainly has helped to build his knowledge on what he is presenting here today. Gary is also an author and, again, founder and director of Hope for the World, online at garyka.org. When we come back, defunding the police.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have any feathered dinosaurs been found?
Chris, this is a popular evolutionary story, but it's quite controversial. Some do seem to have a frayed neck fringe, but these are not feathers. Many experts consider them to be just the decayed remnants of dinosaur skin. Dinosaurs were evidently reptilian, very, very different from birds. It's not just the bones and the skin, but the organs and the physiology, the birthing schemes and everything. You can't change one into another just by saying so. Biblically, reptiles didn't change into birds. Land animals were created on day 6 of creation week and birds on day 5, backwards from the evolutionary scenario. Birds have always been birds and reptiles have always been reptiles. And they've been that way ever since back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to the VCY America Radio Network and A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. This is the second and final broadcast covering the message from last weekend's VCY rally. We'll share with you in the minutes ahead how to obtain the entire message on either CD or DVD. We'll pick it up now as Gary Kaa shifts gears a little bit from the Black Lives Matter movement to defunding the police.
I want to talk just a little bit about the defunding of the police. In recent months, BLM has taken the lead in calling for the defunding of America's police. But the absence of law enforcement from our cities would force law-abiding citizens ultimately to bear arms in order to protect their families, homes, and businesses. And at that point, we'd be crossing the threshold from civil unrest to actual civil war. This is exactly what the anarchists want. They want to divide our country and cause a conflict from within that would give possibly enemies from outside an opportunity to attack. They want to take our country down. According to a June 16th article at LifeSiteNews.com titled, "Witches and Satanists Have Teamed Up with Leftists to Destroy America," here's what is happening. And this speaks a little bit to the spiritual underpinning of this movement. And I quote that article now. "Satanists and witches have been invoking evil powers to aid those participating in the violence. The witches do not hide their involvement in the violent protests. Witches' covens are actively engaged in hexing police. They especially target those who are risking their lives to stop the riots. The hashtag, Witches4BLM, serves as a meeting place for practicing witches who want to learn how to cast protection spells, draw occult sigils, and hex police. Get this, 5 days after the hashtag started, it had garnered 10 million views on the TikTok app. In other words, this is no small thing. Now, let's assume many of these people have gone to the same site over and over. So we're not looking at 10 million views, but probably, 10 million individuals. We're probably looking at 1 to 2 million or something like that. But still, this is huge. This is not just a few crazy people, you know, at a seance casting spells. You're looking at millions of people now that are involved in this. The witches are part of a growing movement mixing politics and the occult. Numerous books of spells have been published since the 2016 elections advising occultist activists how to invoke the powers of darkness for political causes. Witches and Satanists are appearing more often in public to push their agenda and display their scorn for God and His law." End quote. Well, the fact is, Satan is the author of rebellion and the perpetrator of lawlessness. Together with his team of anarchists, witches, and political leftists, he is seeking to completely dismantle and destroy America. I want to talk just a little bit now about the 2020 election. In our fall 2018 issue 2 years ago, this month, I wrote the following. I said, "Keep your eyes on California Senator Kamala Harris. She is a rising star within the Democratic Party and is rapidly gaining popularity among millennials. She is attractive, intelligent, well-spoken, and extremely liberal. Some political insiders believe she has her eyes set on the White House. Harris has led Trump in some recent unofficial polls. In order to become her party's nominee, she would have to first overcome some of the older establishment liberals, such as Joe Biden." End quote. Now, I knew over 2 years ago that the globalists wanted Harris to get in. She was their favored one. And she did pretty good through some of the debates, but at one point said some things that backfired on her, and she slipped in the polls. But they still managed to find a way to get her on the ticket. So she is now running, of course, as the vice presidential candidate. And if Joe Biden gets elected president, she will be one heartbeat or one mini-stroke away from being our president. She is a socialist, is very liberal, and stands for many anti-Christian issues, And if she gets in, I believe ultra-liberals will have a clear path on a lot of fronts that we're trying to hold back right now. So just be aware of that. This is a very, very important election coming up, not just at the national level, but the state and local level. We need to make sure that Christians, or at the very least conservatives who share our Judeo-Christian ethic and values, are elected into office if we want to have any time of freedom left, or else the hammer is going to come down very hard on us as Christians. Sooner than you may think it could happen. There's a lot at stake right now. As you know, we are a very divided country right now. We are witnessing a growing clash between two completely opposing worldviews. On the one end of the spectrum, we have people who want to uphold our Constitution, who are in favor of free enterprise, who are pro-freedom of speech, pro-religious freedom, pro-life. On the other end of the spectrum, you have people leaning more and more toward socialism, holding among themselves very strong anti-Christian values, who favor abortion, which I still can't understand this. Some of the same people who march for animal rights march to keep the so-called right to take a human life, an innocent life from the womb. That makes no sense whatsoever. But that's what happens among depraved minds when they've been taken down a certain path. They believe that good is evil and evil is good, and that's just how the Bible said it would be in the last days. And we're seeing it now. Anyway, two completely opposing worldviews. Therefore, we should expect and be prepared for a time of unprecedented chaos and upheaval beginning around the time, probably right after the election. I hope this doesn't happen, but I think we need to be prepared for it because it well could. If Biden and Harris win in a very close race, and if there is any evidence at all of fraud or tampering, there could be a recall. This thing could drag out for some time. You could even possibly have some far-right activists beginning to bear arms who so far have not done so. So far, all the violence has been on the left. That could change. If Trump wins, I believe, if it's in a close race, you can expect massive revolt, anarchy, and lawlessness on a scale unlike anything we've seen so far. If that were to happen, there's also a possibility that President Trump might be tempted to declare martial law. I would be very concerned about that myself if that happens. I hope he does not go there or feels that he has to go there. And here's why, quickly. For 7 years, I was in an organization in the Emergency Management Network that has now been brought under Homeland Security. The last 3 of the years I was in it, I had secret clearance. I will just tell you this. During the 7 years I was in this organization, I met a lot of people, not all of them, but many people. To the best of my knowledge, only 2 other people who I met were Christians, possibly a third one. Many of these people were globalists. At one session, our briefing was conducted by someone from the Rockefeller Foundation and another individual from the Council on Foreign Relations. Both of them were globalists. At the luncheon, we were bussed over to the naval station, and the luncheon speaker, a man by the name of Leo Chern, who allegedly was very powerful, I had never heard of him before, but he made some interesting statements during his talk. One of them was that we needed to move away from our Judeo-Christian ethic in this country and move toward embracing the religious philosophies of the East. I couldn't even believe he said that. And someone would only make that statement if they feel that the people sitting out there are not Christians, right? So he made that assumption. Well, a couple of us were Christians. And so my point is this. Although President Trump has appointed, I believe, some loyal patriots to key positions in the Department of Homeland Security, how many of the people in the Emergency Management Network still to this day are globalists holding a completely different worldview? You know, we've heard the term deep state, meaning it runs deep. You might have some good leaders on the top, but what, you know, who's there, the next step and the step after that going down the chain of command? So if President Trump declares martial law, we don't really know for sure who would be in control. He might think that he and some of the people around him would be in charge, but possibly martial law could actually be used by these other forces to try to seize control. So I hope and pray that that does not happen. I believe that the push toward lawlessness in this country, part of that effort might be to try to incite the president to declare martial law in order to make all of this happen. Again, I hope that's not the case, but you get the picture. Either way, regardless of who wins this election, the U.S. is already experiencing a surge in hatred and hostility towards Christians and conservative Jews. A number of churches have been attacked over the last couple of years, and conservative Christians who are trying to speak up on college campuses are being run off. And as for Jews, many of you have heard of Ben Shapiro. He's gotten run off of college campuses. Sometimes he's had to have security to accompany him off so that he doesn't get hurt. The Jewish community is getting very concerned, especially after the attacks on synagogues and Jewish businesses in LA and other places. This sentiment, I believe, will continue to grow because it is being intentionally fueled by the left. I'm talking about this hatred and anti-Semitic overtones. In response to all of this, you might be surprised at what some rabbis are now telling their people. Two of the most recent calls for the Jewish people to make aliyah to Israel, meaning to pack up their bags and leave and go live in Israel, have come from Brooklyn rabbis Chaim Yaakov Frankel and also Zechariah Wallerstein. Rabbi Frankel, during a recent visit to Florida to address Jews in that state, made the following statement, and I quote, listen carefully to this, "Leave while it's possible. Things will get worse, and it will be difficult to move from one country to another. Listen to me well, dear Jews. Whoever can afford to rise and ascend to the Holy Land should do it as soon as possible. The U.S. will become a dangerous place mired in war, and it is still too early to tell which U.S. states will survive, but many parts will be destroyed and poisoned, and a civil war will break out within the U.S., and states will secede from the federal government. The U.S. will no longer be a place of refuge, but there will be a Jewish remnant here. The land of Israel will be the safest place to survive the war, even though there will be terrible difficulties there as well." End quote. Rabbi Wallerstein is also telling Jews to leave the U.S. His conversation, I believe, can still be viewed on YouTube. And from Israel, Rabbi Shlomo Katz has issued a passionate plea calling for Jews to come home. That clip has been online as well, and many other Jewish rabbis. They see the handwriting on the wall. And to them, what is happening in this country now is very reminiscent of what happened in Nazi Germany leading up to Hitler's time.
Friends, we know the subject matters at hand are heavy. Making this broadcast, this message, all the more important. A Nation at War, the Globalist Conditioning of America, is available in its entirety on both CD or DVD when you call 1-800-729-9829. You may also order online now at vcyamerica.org. More of this powerful message when we continue.
Common Core for state-controlled public education standards in an ongoing attempt to dumb down the American educational system, a struggle that has raged for decades. To help parents and grandparents become knowledgeable on this issue comes the DVD Escaping Common Core. In this presentation, you'll see how Common Core relates to previous initiatives such as Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, and Race to the Top. You'll learn about the influence of men like John Dewey and Horace Mann and their impact on education today. You'll see how Common Core brainwashes children and has a deliberate push toward globalism. And you'll learn how to set your children free from the clutches of Common Core. This DVD is over 60 minutes long and is a must-see presentation. Escaping Common Core is available for a donation of $18 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Online at crosstalkamerica.org. The message, a nation at war, the globalist conditioning of America. And we must continue on if we are going to be able to get all of this message finished in this final half hour. At the break, Gary Kahn was sharing some disturbing news, a warning from a Jewish rabbi to Jews who are in America that this is no longer a safe place to be, that anti-Semitism is on the rise.
Rabbi Wallerstein is also telling Jews to leave the U.S. His conversation, I believe, can still be viewed on YouTube. And from Israel, Rabbi Shlomo Katz has issued a passionate plea calling for Jews to come home. That clip has been online as well, and many other Jewish rabbis. They see the handwriting on the wall. And to them, what is happening in this country now is very reminiscent of what happened in Nazi Germany leading up to Hitler's time. And so I could tell you a lot of Jewish people are considering leaving the country right now. One reason I know about this is during my free time, I've had the honor and privilege of being on the board of directors of an organization that has helped persecuted Jews to go back to Israel. Our efforts so far have been focused primarily on the former Soviet Union countries, where we have assisted tens of thousands of Jews since 1991 to move to Israel, to make Aliyah to Israel. Well, in this country, as recently as a few years ago, we were helping maybe 100 or so Jews leave each year. Last year, it was over 800. And we expect that to be in the thousands over the next couple of years. And especially many of the Russian Jews. Some of them went back to Israel when they had the opportunity, but many of them came to the United States. And they are now feeling that perhaps they made a mistake and they need to go back to Israel. So there's a huge move, especially in Brooklyn, among Russian Jews. And especially because of some of the stunts that Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, has pulled. He's really been harsh on the Jewish community there. I've got to move along for the sake of time. While all of this is taking place in our country, all of this tension, our foreign enemies watch and wait. Should major unrest or, heaven forbid, civil war break out, the United States would be extremely vulnerable to an outside attack from our foreign adversaries. If ever they were going to do something, it would be when we are at our weakest moment, focused inwardly, right? I mean, that would only make sense. While a nuclear attack on our coastal cities can never be completely ruled out, top defense experts of late have argued that the number one current threat to our national security is the targeted disruption of our power supply. It is the major concern of our most astute military leaders, who agree that our nation's greatest weakness is the electrical grid. Researcher author Kyle Mills describes our vast but soft energy network. I quote him. He says, "It's been called the most complex machine in the world, and that's probably a fair description. 3,300 utility companies, 55,000 individual substations, and 200,000 miles of transmission lines all coordinate to meet the country's insatiable demand for power. Unfortunately, it is this scope and complexity that makes us so vulnerable." End quote. Of the 55,000 substations in the United States, approximately 100 of them are absolutely critical for keeping our lights on. According to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, due to the interconnectedness of our grid, only 9 of these critical substations would have to be disabled to plunge our entire country into darkness. And that's ridiculous when you think about it, that we've allowed ourselves to become that vulnerable. Did you get that? There are 100 absolutely critical substations. If only 9 of them are taken out, everything goes dark for possibly 12 to 18 months. That's the best estimate. There are a number of ways that our electrical grid could be shut down. They include acts of organized terror as well as sabotage from within. A well-planned attack was carried out on a substation near San Jose, California back in 2013 and wreaked havoc. And it appears to have been a dry run, possibly for something bigger. But of equal or greater concern is the possibility of an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, or cyber attack, also perpetrated by one of our foreign enemies. In the event of an EMP, a strong nuclear device detonated several miles above the Earth's surface in the midsection of the United States could theoretically, if it is a strong enough nuclear pulse, it could disable the entire country, knocking out everything that contains a computer chip. Any electronic component, including cars, because they have chips in them, if it is powerful enough, it could actually do that much damage. Right now, China, Iran, Russia, and North Korea all have the capacity to do something like this. The EMP probably wouldn't hurt humans directly, but it would knock out, as I said, anything with an electronic component in it. Unlike an EMP, on the other hand, a comprehensive cyber attack, while potentially wiping out our electrical grid, would not directly destroy electronic devices or keep cars from running. However, the long-term effects could be just as damaging. For example, your car would work, but once it runs out of gas, you couldn't refuel at the pump because the pumps require electricity in order for you to be able to use them. So you get the picture. Well, experts on these formidable covert technologies have urged the last few administrations, including the Obama administration, to take the necessary steps to harden or protect our power grid from the aforementioned possible attack scenarios. Nothing has been done. No actions were taken. In fact, these individuals were treated very dismissively. One of them did an interview with Mark Levin on Fox about a year and a half ago and expressed his concern. And it was right along the lines of everything that I'm sharing with you right now. But no action was taken. Well, he and others approached President Trump, and he has taken this seriously. And on May 4th of this year, Peter Navarro, director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy, announced that President Trump had signed an executive order a few days earlier, I believe it was on May 1st, calling for the hardening of the U.S. electrical grid in order to protect our power supply against attacks from foreign and domestic enemies. So this effort is now in motion, but it has just begun. So probably things are just being organized. Probably very little has been done so far to harden our grid, which means what? We are most vulnerable right now, because it's going to take at least 3 to 4 years to accomplish this task. And you better believe that our foreign enemies are aware of that. They have every incentive to do something soon if they are going to do anything. In other words, if they can't get us into a one-world system with everyone having a mark and taking a mandatory vaccine and playing their game, they may try to shut down everything in the United States and send us back to the Dark Ages. And they know they only have a window of opportunity to try to get this done. That is why all of us here tonight, we need to be on our knees in prayer before the Lord, crying out on behalf of our country that the Lord would have mercy and protect us and intervene in this situation. Thankfully, thousands of America's Christians are being awakened to the reality of our present situation and have begun to earnestly cry out to God with repentant and contrite hearts. The prayer initiatives on September 26th, led by Franklin Graham and others, reflect the growing sense of urgency that is now taking hold among sincere Christ followers across our nation. We are still just a remnant, but the remnant is growing. We must hope and pray that the Lord will hear our petitions and that any revival that occurs will be genuine and real, not like the few weeks of sobriety that followed 9/11 and then quickly faded away. Before I wrap up, I want to call to your attention an incredible letter that was written on September 6th, 2020. It's called My Letter to America. It was written by a lady named Noor Bin Laden. Noor, spelled N-O-O-R, she is the niece of Osama bin Laden. I believe she's a Christian based on a couple of hints that were in this letter. I don't know that for sure. But she was born in Switzerland to a Swiss mother and a Saudi father. She basically summarizes much of what I've been sharing this evening and pleads with Americans to wake up. I just want to share her last few statements of this letter. She writes, "America, you are at the very edge of the precipice. Please wake up. Take hold. Fight for your country and be proud of your roots. Uphold your values. Stand for your flag and your anthem. Defend your history. Don't relent in the face of those who seek to rewrite it to serve their narrative and justify the destruction of your nation. You have much to cherish and protect for your sake and ours. We need you to stay the course, America. Be assured we are with you in this decisive hour in your history. All of us freedom-seeking and loving people across the globe pray for you to succeed. We are rooting for you and watching closely, America, for with your fate will the destiny of unborn millions be involved. Signed, your fellow patriot, Noor bin Laden." Here's a lady of the lineage of the bin Laden family living overseas somewhere, and yet she gets it. She understands what is happening in this country right now and where we are in history, but yet most Americans don't. And so the degree of discernment that was required for her to write this letter is amazing. I encourage all of you to go online to noorbinladen.com/letter and read it in its entirety. noorbinladen.com/letter. And after you read it, pass it on to your friends as well. I believe it is very urgent. So what does all of this mean for each of us, and how do we respond as Christians other than getting out to vote, which is very important, but there's much more to it than that. As I said, we've got to get on our knees in prayer and repent. To reach the heart of God, we want to repent. If we say we're Christians, we believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead, that we have eternal life, but we continue to live like the rest of the world, and we don't repent. Are we really Christians, or are we just playing a game? You know, if everyone in this country who professes to be a Christian were a true Christian, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. You know, over 70% of Americans call themselves Christians, but probably it's closer to 5%, maybe 10%, something like that. And the reason for that is there is a lack of repentance and godliness in this country. We've become so much like the world. We've gotten caught up in all the pursuits of material things and wealth and this and that. So many distractions, anything to keep us from walking in a tight relationship with the Lord, when that is really what He wants. Yes, He wants us to repent, but He wants us to walk with Him daily. Not just to have head knowledge. Yes, Christ died for my sins. I believe that. So now I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But I believe God put us in this world to have a relationship with us. I would say a majority of professing Christians in this country are missing that. They're not walking with the Lord day in and day out. And yes, it's a challenge for all of us because we're distracted every day with the busyness of life and all the gadgets and social media and everything else that pull at us. But God wants our hearts and our obedience and our loyalty to Him. And unless there's a big shift in that direction soon, I believe our days are numbered.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Recently, someone called into my radio show and wanted to know why I would be opposed to the mosque, because after all, they're doing great social service things in the community. They're nice people. Why are you so anti-Muslim? Well, it's a good question, actually. First of all, I'm not anti-Muslim. I have nothing but love for the Muslim people. I want to see them come to salvation in Christ alone. What I am is opposed to Islam. And Islam is based on the writings of the Quran, the Hadiths. If you read these documents, you find out real quick. They're not worshiping Allah. They're worshiping Satan. You'll find out their hatred of Christians and Jews. You'll actually find out about their call to eliminate the Christians and the Jews. You'll find out about the fact that they are fine with raping women that are not covered in a hijab. There are so many things we could say. And as to the community services, that's simply a ploy of taqiyya to convert you to Islam. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
Well, final segment, nearly having broadcast this message from Gary Kaw in its entirety over these past 2 days. And it is important for us to keep the big picture in mind. Yes, the news is heavy, but the good news is most important. Let's listen again to Gary's opening statements before we air his final ones.
You know, these days, it almost doesn't matter what you speak on, it's going to be controversial in light of Scripture because of where the world is and where we stand as Christians, given the Word of God. And so we need to be bold, but always communicate in love and compassion and remember who we're serving, right? And we need to remind ourselves constantly that Jesus is on the throne and He is still in control. He knows everything that's happening in this world. He sees it all. And so we should never be panicked, but we should be Christ's ambassadors in this world and do what we can to stand effectively for Him. I'm going to open by reading a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 1. Very appropriate for this evening to set the stage. So I'll begin reading in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God sometimes allows trials and persecution in our lives because it refines our faith. And it also strengthens our dependence upon Him. It brings out the genuineness of our faith.
Friend, that was just the beginning of Gary's message as he set the stage for his entire presentation, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. Topic after topic after topic, the coronavirus, global governance and the New World Order, a coming cashless society, vaccines, economic fallout, Black Lives Matter, defunding the police, the 2020 general election, anti-Semitism, threats to national security, but lastly, Gary's closing charge and how we should respond.
God could still spare America as He did Nineveh, but time is running out. Therefore, I will continue to hope and pray for God's divine mercy and intervention, but I will also prepare for turbulent times. And you should do the same. You need to prepare both physically and spiritually. But most importantly, draw near to Jesus. If you are currently not in a close walk with the Lord, make it your number one top priority to establish a strong relationship with Him, one in which you place your complete trust and faith in Him, because you will need to recognize His voice as He leads you through difficult times, requiring special discernment and quick decisions in the days ahead. You must allow the Holy Spirit to get you to the place where you are tuned in and dependent on King Jesus. Do nothing out of fear. Throughout Scripture, the Lord reminds us that His love for His children is great, and that He will never leave or forsake us, but will always be with us, even unto the very end of the age. An important truth to keep before us as we move into the difficult times ahead. Therefore, in everything you do, from here on in, do it in such a way that Christ will be glorified through your life. And remember that we have the hope of Jesus living in us. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world, right? I'd like to close with the following passages from John 14, 2 Timothy 1, and Ephesians 6. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. The picture here is of a believer that digs in their heels and says, I'm going to stand firm for the Lord no matter what comes. I'm going to be obedient and loyal to him to the very end. All the while realizing that Jesus is our rock. He is the rock of our salvation, and our hope must be in him. Amen.
You've been listening to part two of this two-day broadcast on Crosstalk, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America, with Gary Kah. Don't know about you, but we have been encouraged. All who were in attendance at the rally last weekend were encouraged, and we pray motivated to redeem the time, because the days here, as the scripture says, are evil. We need walk in wisdom toward those outside of the faith, again, redeeming the time. But we do pray this information has brought you much clarity and again has motivated and even stirred your faith. The Globalist Conditioning of America with Gary Kah. This message is available on both CD and or DVD when you call 1-800-729-9829 during normal business hours. You may also order online right now at bcyamerica.org. Special thanks to Hope for the World Ministry, Gary Kah and his wife Audrey, for their dedication and certainly this timely message. Now for Jim Schneider, this is Dalton Windsor. Be of good cheer. Christ Jesus has overcome the world.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from BCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.